in March of 1854, the good ship, the Powhatan, left France, bound for New York City with 311 German immigrants. On April 16th of 1854, off the coast of New Jersey, the Powhatan ran into a huge hurricane-like snowstorm, one of the worst the state has ever seen. As a crowd gathered on the beach, they could hear the people screaming. And as the boat was dashed onto the rocks over and over again, a life station 6 miles away could not get boats in the water to help them. Finally, at 5 p.m., the boat broke apart, and all 311 souls died. 99 souls washed up onto the beach in Atlantic City, left to wander. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wicked Garden Podcast. This is episode 3, Appsecan Lighthouse. I'm your host, Mike.
And I'm your co-host, Tracy.
And we'll take care of some business here at the outset. If you have a ghost sighting, cryptid sighting, UFO sighting, please get in touch with us. Tell us your story. We want to hear your stories. If it's a good enough story, perhaps you'll even appear on the podcast. Best way to get in touch with us is through the Facebook page. That's Wicked Garden Podcast on Facebook. There's a message button there. You can hit it, send us a message. Also on our website, wickedgardenpodcast.com.
Email address is email@wickedgardenpodcast.com.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And today on the show, we have a little bit of a special treat. We're going to have a gentleman on to give us a rundown on Appsecan Lighthouse, and he is coming on. His name is Milton Glenn, and this should be an interesting show.
I'm really looking forward to talking to him.
Yeah, and in the opening, I kind of let you know about the Powhatan. And the Powhatan, and I'm sure Milton will get into this a little bit more, was the impetus to get Appsecan Lighthouse built. Prior to that, there was no lighthouse here in Atlantic City, so this should be good, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And here's Milton Glenn. Hey, Milt, thanks for joining us.
Not a pleasure. Absolutely, Mike. Thank you so much.
Not a pleasure.
I caught that too. Good morning, Milt.
I had to sleep until about a half hour ago. It's the only day I actually get a chance to sleep late.
And you did say you're sitting there with a cup of Joe. So
yeah, you might want to take a few more drinks of that.
Man. And this is one of many.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. So did you want to maybe go through your bio a little bit? Let us know how you got to Lighthouse, and what you do there.
Absolutely. Yep. My official title is Director of Educational Programs. And make a long story short, I spent over 10 years in business-to-business sales. And as we all know, of course, we had a horrible recession during the Obama administration. And many, many Americans were let go from their jobs. Right. I was one of those people. I was unemployed for basically 2.5 years.
Ooh, that's tough.
It was tough. All I can say is thank goodness for Congress for extending a lot of those unemployment benefits.
Yeah.
But going into my second year, my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, basically sat me down. We had a one-on-one, and she told me that I'm driving her crazy. Stop staring
Smart
at
lady.
The four walls. Stop staring at all the help wanted ads on the computer. Get out there. You're in sales. Make yourself happen. So we had always been supporters of the Lighthouse. We'd gone to many functions. And, of course, you know, we knew that they were always looking for volunteers. I was born and raised here on Absecon Island. I am third generation to grow up here.
Nice.
So I know a lot about Atlantic City and its history. So I started volunteering, and when my predecessor decided to move her professional career forward in a different direction, the board naturally asked me, being that I've already been there, I know the history of the lighthouse, I kind of know its inside workings, if I'd like to submit my resume. And here I am 8 years later, still loving what I do.
That's great.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know what? That's a great lesson for some of our younger listeners. You know, maybe you're getting caught up, you're worried about, you know, your resume. Am I getting enough applications out? Am I doing this? Am I doing get off your butt, go volunteer somewhere, and it might lead you into, you know, your passion.
Mike, so, Tracy, if I may interject on that, absolutely. You know, as a college graduate, I was in a fraternity, and the word had gotten around through the, you know, fraternity grapevine that I was one of the lucky ones. I'm going to say at least five or six of my fraternity alumni called me, reached out and said, hey, I'm in the same boat. What can I do? What type of advice can you give me? Because you obviously have pulled yourself out. And I told them, volunteer.
Yeah.
I said, right. Volunteer. You're not keeping yourself polished by sitting around, staring at the four walls, and playing with the remote control.
Absolutely.
Get out there, talk to people, interact, get yourself back in gear. You never know who you're going to meet. And I would say, oh, at least three of them came back to me and said, you are absolutely right. I've got myself a job, and you were the one who helped jumpstart me. Thank you so much.
And that's, I hope, awesome. At that point is when you sent them an invoice for your life coaching.
Yeah. I'm going to have another cup of coffee now, all right?
That's a whole new business these days, this life coaching thing, right? Yeah, and it sounds really like you're a great life coach.
You know, I grew up old school. Really, many people say that, you know, I have an old soul. My grandmother, if you were to tell her what a life coach was, she'd say, yeah, I've got a foot and I'm going to kick it somewhere. There's your life coach.
Yeah, you know what? You and I are kindred spirits. I'm a B2B sales guy now at my day job. So, and I had the same grandmother.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, could you give us some stats and some little brief history on the lighthouse?
Absolutely. The lighthouse was basically created because the way the current patterns are along Absecon Island, especially Absecon Inlet, there's a constant change in the sandbars and the shoals. So because of that, sailors during storms really didn't know what they were getting into. Yeah, they had their charts, and their charts would give them an idea of how deep the water was. But as I said, it's constantly changing because of the currents.
Right.
And with that, there became a multitude of ship crashings along our shoreline. In fact, the sailors actually nicknamed the shoreline around Atlantic City the Graveyard Inlet, because so many sailors, not knowing where the shore was prior to the lighthouse being built, you know, during a rough storm and visibility is poor, they crash into these sandbars, their ship tips over, many of them, of course, fall and drown into the stormy oceans, henceforth the Graveyard Inlet. It was the father of Atlantic City, Dr. Jonathan Pitney, who basically wrote to Congress and begged them to start building lighthouses along the New Jersey coastline because of this problem. And Atlantic City was pretty much where they decided to start building. Absecon Lighthouse was the prototype for Barnegat and also Cape May.
Right.
We pretty much were all built one right after the other.
Yeah, I think between where I'm sitting here in Brigantine and where you're sitting over there at Absecon Lighthouse, there were 60 major shipwrecks.
Yeah,
and we
exactly.
are, as the crow flies, maybe a mile apart from each other.
Yep. In fact, one of the reasons that the lighthouses really were built, it's called the Tragedy of Powhatan. The Powhatan was a passenger boat that was docked in the ports of France, and in 1854, it set sail carrying 311 European immigrants on it, coming to New York Harbor to start a brand new life in America. The Powhatan sailed across the Atlantic with no problem, but as it got close to New York, it ran into a winter nor'easter, and that nor'easter actually blew the Powhatan completely off its coast. It crashed along the southern tip of Long Beach Island, and unfortunately, the life-saving crew was not able to get out to rescue anyone. All 311 of those people that were on the ship drowned in that storm. It's recorded that about 60 of those bodies washed up on the shores of Atlantic City and in the Back Bay Inlet area. If you find yourself on Route 9 by the historic town of Smithville, across the street from Smithville is a Methodist church, but that was originally an old Quaker church, and those 60 bodies are actually buried in a mass grave there in the cemetery. There's a marker that tells the tragedy of the Powhatan. I've actually had the opportunity to meet and speak with the current minister, and he will tell you all about that tragedy.
Yeah, we just, matter of fact, our intro, which we recorded before we recorded this interview, was talking about the Powhatan. And it, I read an article that had it at 54 bodies over washed up on in Atlantic City and another 45 in Absecon. So yeah. I think it's a total of 99 altogether. It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is there really wasn't a lot of structures around at that time either, right?
No. I mean, no. Sailors pretty much, during the day, sailors would use any type of landmark they could to get their navigational bearings, whether it be a big tree or maybe there was a sand dune. But that was it. You know, people tend to forget that, you know, the casinos and you know, housing really didn't come onto the barrier islands until, you know, pretty much the 40s and the 50s. The casinos didn't come into play until the 70s. Prior to that, there really were no visible markings in the later part of the 1800s for sailors to really use. So, okay, yeah, maybe they had a tree or a sand dune during the day, but now it's night. There's no lights right on the shoreline. They're flying blind, or they're sailing blind, I should say. So having lighthouses really was the key to true navigation for sailors.
Yeah, and another problem, too, was, you know, here on our island, we had what they call the beach pirates, who would, you know, get down there with some lanterns and maybe lure them onto the shoals.
Absolutely. They put those lanterns, I'm very familiar with this, they put those lanterns on long poles, and they bob them up and down to simulate, you know, the swells of the ocean. Well, of course, the ship seeing lights, figuring, okay, there must be another ship there. It's deep water. They sail towards those lights. They get themselves stuck in the shallows, and the next thing you know, the pirates are running aboard and doing what they do.
Wow. That was part of the local economy, it was described. That's crazy. So you guys offer overnights. What's interesting about your lighthouse is you actually offer overnights and paranormal tours. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Correct. Now, the overnights, those are basically, it's called the Keeper Sleeper Program. And we offer that to Girl Scouts and Cub Scouts. In fact, if you're actually a Girl Scout, there really is a lighthouse badge that you can then apply for after doing our program. And what the Keeper Sleeper program is, it starts at 7 p.m. on Saturday nights, goes until 9:30 Sunday night. It's all about education through interaction, through, you know, I guess you'd say oral presentations, DVDs. We teach the girls, the Cub Scouts, the moms, the dads, all about lighthouses, why they were created, all about the lighthouse lens, the Fresnel lens, and, of course, the life of a lighthouse keeper. We also do all sorts of interactive concepts. We do, you know, an educational tower climb where the, you know, the kids have to pay attention and fill out, you know, the answers to questions as they're climbing the tower. We do a late-night scavenger hunt. We've got arts and crafts. I serve up a simple, you know, snack time in the later part of the evening, and we offer a simple continental breakfast in the morning. Everyone brings their sleeping bags. They all sleep downstairs in our museum, which is heated and air conditioning. And, you know, we can do up to 35 at a time. And honestly, most of my Saturdays are inundated with that. I literally have to get my calendar the first week of September so that I can actually block out Saturdays like, you know, my anniversary. my mother-in-law would kill me if I were to do a keeper sleeper on Mother's Day weekend. All right.
And that's actually how
I have to really, I have people that I say, look, put a sticky note in your calendar on September and give me a call for the first week. I haven't even thought about booking for 2020 yet.
Yeah. That's actually how our conversation started. Yeah. We had originally wanted to go, and we're still going to try to do that and get it going. But, you know, we wanted to make sure we got this episode out, and you were kind enough to come on. But yeah, I mean, when you told me you were booked up, I was like, wow. And that's great. You know, but there's other ways to visit. Like, you don't have to stay overnight, right? There's other ways to visit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're open currently in the summertime. We're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the last climb of the tower is always a half hour before closing. In the off season, when the summer's over, we're closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and our hours of operation for visitation are 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. with the last climb at 3:30. You know, during the week, we don't get as much business as we do on the weekends, but it is. We're New Jersey's tallest lighthouse.
How tall is the lighthouse?
171 feet tall.
Wow.
We're actually the country's third tallest masonry lighthouse.
Wow.
And at 162 years of age, we're actually the oldest building in Atlantic City. We're a historic site. You can spend a good hour walking around our property, learning about our history. You know, we have all sorts of ways to interact with the lighthouse. And, of course, once you get to the top, you're going to notice it is the best view in Atlantic City.
I'm sure it is. I have a question, though, because I did not grow up around here, so I don't know a lot of the history. So it's always fascinating for me to learn more and more about it. But the lighthouse I'm familiar with, right, sits kind of like in the middle of a bunch of city blocks. What did it look like there when it was built?
When the Absecon Lighthouse was actually built, Pacific Avenue truly was the shoreline.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, and yep. In fact, in our museum, we have some very old pictures that do show the ocean right up there, basically licking the feet of the lighthouse. But very early on, the keepers realized that during storms such as a three-day nor'easter, the occasional tropical storm and or possible hurricane, that tidal surge was flooding the property. And they were afraid that the ground would eventually become so muddy that it wouldn't be able to support the weight of the tower and that the tower could possibly topple over. So from 1880 to 1890, the Army Corps of Engineers came into town, and for that 10-year period, they brought in landfill and beach sand and actually pushed the ocean away from the lighthouse. All the land that surrounds us today is literally man-made landfill.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, and I have to remind people this because we sometimes forget, it isn't, you know, uncommon. I mean, the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan, that's all landfill.
That's all man-made, yeah.
It took them years to do it, but they got it done.
Yeah, I grew up in Southwest Arkansas, and we have quite a few listeners from that part of the world that may or may not have ever been in Atlantic City. So Atlantic City is a barrier island, but a lot of it was constructed, as you just explained to us, right, to protect the, you know, the property there and make sure that people were safe.
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, when Atlantic City was slowly coming into its own, there really weren't a lot of attractions. It really wasn't until the Prohibition era that Atlantic City really became the world's playground. Prior to that, when people would come and visit, the lighthouse was an actual attraction.
Right.
Most lighthouses had two keepers. You had the head of keeper, and you had an assistant. We actually had a second assistant at the turn of the century because people would come and visit the lighthouse so as to let the other two keepers do their job. The third keeper was crowd control. He would answer questions, He'd take people on tours of the tower. He let them climb. He kept them occupied while the other two needed to do the things they had to do to keep the lighthouse going.
Yeah, and Absecon Lighthouse is, you know, there's a couple different kind of lighthouses, right? There's a lighthouse that tells a ship, hey, come this way, you know?
Yeah.
And then Absecon is the lighthouse that says, stay the hell away. That's why
right.
the light
We're
is fixed, right?
Lighthouse.
Right.
Yeah. We're a coastal lighthouses were basically just that. Tall with the light to let the sailors know, here's where the shoreline is. Henceforth, shallow water.
Right.
You need to stay out in the deeper part of the water so you can sail safely. That's
right.
why we were built.
So, at 171 feet, you must have a tremendous amount of steps, huh?
Oh, yeah. 228 stairs.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So somebody could get a hell of a workout.
Oh, yeah. In fact, we actually have membership programs where a person can, you know, pay for a multiple different levels of tiers. They can come as often as they want. And we have people in City Hall. We have people associated with the Casino Control Commission. You know, these guys are sitting behind a desk all day long. They're not getting a lot of exercise. So they may come during their lunch break, or they may come, you know, a half hour before we close, and we'll see them two or three times a week. You know, this is the only exercise that they may actually get.
Right.
And I can honestly tell you this. Years ago, it was mathematically calculated by Atlantic City Medical that a full climb up and down burns approximately 160 calories.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
Work up a little bit of lunch.
Right. Take a couple walks up.
So there's your margarita at Jimmy Buffett's Margarita Bill right there.
There we go. So I'm curious about, you know, the experience from the paranormal side, the ghost sightings. You know, what kind of experiences have you heard about there?
Sure. You know, the whole paranormal aspect with the lighthouse kind of came about in 2010. My predecessor actually reached out and contacted the Sci-Fi Channel's Ghost Hunters at that point in time. And they came and they did a recorded investigation of the lighthouse. Ever since then, we have had many paranormal groups reach out to us to see if they could, you know, do an investigation, and we allow that. We have a program where you can rent the lighthouse out for a minimum of 4 hours and, you know, a maximum of whatever you want. All we ask is that you respect the history of the lighthouse. So if you're going to hang cameras, if you're going to, you know, wire equipment, please don't use something sticky such as duct tape,
right,
which could
right.
leave a residue. But the great thing is with today's Bluetooth technology, that aspect for the most part is a thing of the past. And that's, right. that's a wonderful thing for us. But yeah, we have many, many paranormal groups that reach out. Unfortunately, I have had to turn some of them away because, like I said, our Scout Sleeper program takes up a lot of my time, but if
right.
there is a time that we can make something work, we're more than happy to do so. And, you know, I've been associated with the lighthouse now for 8 years, and the paranormal investigations kind of fall under my job description. When I started 8 years ago, look, ghosts, Bigfoot, the man from Mars, you better be at my office at 5 o'clock and let's toss a couple back before I actually believe that you exist.
Have you changed your mind?
Yeah, because you've been on
yes.
all those investigations.
It's like Fox Mulder from the X-Files. I want to believe, but you got to give me some solid proof.
Right.
And in those 8 years, I have heard, I have experienced, I have seen things where I will honestly say, yes, there is a paranormal concept that surrounds the lighthouse. I don't know if you want to call it ghosts that walk the night, lost souls, people that are stuck in a repetitive loop. I don't know why we have the things going on that we do, but our lighthouse is without a doubt a haunted property.
And that's what we were trying to figure out. When you look back into the history of the lighthouse, it doesn't really seem like any, you know, tragedy happened there. There was no, you know, not that at least we could find, because we did some digging.
Correct. So you watch some of these paranormal shows, and, you know, there was like, you know, yeah, about, you know, 100 years ago, there was the old lighthouse keeper who slipped and fell to his death.
Right.
Or, you know, there was the caretaker who, scared somebody, an intruder, and was stabbed and unfortunately died. There was somebody who committed suicide. There is absolutely nothing like that associated with our lighthouse.
So who do you think it is? Or what do you think it is?
It's a multitude of entities. I have heard recorded sessions with people of, you know, British Cockney accents.
Wow.
I have heard more modern folk dropping F-bombs like there's no tomorrow. I've heard small children, you know, for whatever it is, our lighthouse seems to be a magnet for entities to just be there. Now, whether or not it's they're passing through, I don't know. But whenever an investigation happens, there's always something that's going on. We've had entities that have actually claimed that they were General George Meade, General Meade, back when he was Lieutenant Meade, a graduate of West Point Military Academy, was actually the overseer of our construction back in 1855.
Oh, wow.
He also then, of course, went on to oversee the construction of Barnegat and Cape May. We've used K2 meters and have had conversations, and yet this entity claimed that he was George Meade. I've had, by utilizing, forgive me, but they're the two metal rods that cross together.
Dowsing rods, yes.
Dowsing rods, thank you. I've experienced paranormal groups having a conversation with someone who used to come to Atlantic City, and they enjoyed gambling in the casinos. You know, I don't know what it is. We do a haunted Halloween tale every Saturday right around Halloween. And basically, for an hour, you can come in, bring the kids, we take you on a tour of the lighthouse, and we tell you some of the haunted stories. Everything from, you know, the tale of the Powhatan to how the Jersey Devil came to visit the lighthouse at the turn of the 1900th century. And one of the great things is that there is a paranormal group called the New Jersey Researchers of Paranormal Evidence.
Okay.
And they've been assisting us for years.
That's great.
They'll set up their equipment. They'll interact with people. They'll show a lot of the evidence that, you know, they've accumulated over the course of the years with the lighthouse. Last year, after we wrapped up, some of their team members said, "Hey, Milt, do you mind if we just stick around for an hour and, you know, do a quick investigation?" I had no problem with that. During that hour, we were able to contact a little girl. And one of the instruments that they had was a stuffed toy dog. And when you touched the dog, the nose lit up.
Wow.
Well, the little girl was immediately drawn to it. And this thing started to go off like there was no tomorrow. And eventually, through, you know, playing the game of 20 questions, yeah, we found out it was a little girl. She was here with her mom, but the mom didn't want to, you know, make herself known. We were able to get the director of NJ Rope close enough to the dog that when you put on it's a type of spectrum monitor that right. shows the images and stick figures.
Yeah, we've seen those, yeah.
Yes, yes. You could visually see on the computer monitor, there was Frank, who's a good, you know, 5'7", 5'8", And there's an entity that's about half his size showing that, yeah, there was something there. And I was just mind-boggled.
Wow.
Absolutely mind-boggled.
Yeah, one...
So, like I said, there's no individual or individuals that constantly haunt the lighthouse. We don't have any nicknames for anything. All I can tell you is that, yes, we are an active property.
Yeah, and it seems to be the case with, you know, a lot of lighthouses that don't have a tragic event. There's just something about lighthouses. So
yeah.
I wanted to ask you, that lens is kind of a special lens that you guys have
correct.
Up top. Could you give us a little bit of information on that?
Absolutely. We are very fortunate to have our original lighthouse lens in perfect working condition. The lens is called a Fresnel lens. And it was created by a French physicist in the early 1800s. His name is Augustin Jean Fresnel. You see, lighthouses have been around for centuries, but they could never really get the light bright enough to be shown for miles out. Fresnel, understanding the light properties of reflection and refraction, started experimenting with glass prisms. And he was able to build a prototype that showed that the light of just one flame from a kerosene lamp, when it shines through a prism, is now magnified by over 1,000 times its natural brightness. Fresnel created 6 different sizes of lenses. A first order is the largest, specifically for coastal lighthouses like us. A 6th order is the smallest. It would be placed at the end of a dock or a pier to help guide a ship in at the end of the night for mooring. But it's because of his invention that all of a sudden lighthouses took on the job that sailors needed.
Wow. Yeah, it's a pretty heavy piece too, right?
Absolutely. Our lens weighs over 6 tons.
Oh, my goodness. 800 pounds. Yeah, when Mike said pretty heavy, I was thinking hundreds, was not thousands. Yeah. That's crazy.
When I have the little kids, when they come up with their parents, I ask them, do you have any idea how heavy a ton is? And they look at me and, you know, just say no. I said, well, 1 ton is about the size of a baby elephant. Now picture 6 baby elephants. That's how heavy our lens is. And when they see the imagery in their head, that's when their eyes open up and their jaw drops.
I'll bet.
You had also said that it was the largest masonry lighthouse. Can you expand on that a little bit? Like, is it unusual for them to be made out of masonry?
Now, you know, lighthouses are actually made out of all sorts of material. Coastal lighthouses are, you know, brick and mortar. And that's what they were made out of. The other type of lighthouse is called a harbor lighthouse. Now, a harbor lighthouse would be the actual house that the keeper and his family would live in, but the light would be then constructed into the roof. That type of lighthouse would be built all the way at the back end of a harbor, so it would help illuminate everything as a ship would come in at the end of the night for mooring. Some lighthouses, as we've seen in some of these amazing pictures, are definitely made out of steel and metal because they're on a rocky bluff, and their job is to keep the ships away from that bluff. Well, brick and mortar, that salt water is going to eat through that like there's no tomorrow. And of course, you're not going to have a wooden structure there. So of course, the lighthouse would have been made of metal because of, you know, the elements that surround it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm going with this whole thing. And we're going to do some conjecture after this interview, Tracy and I. That's kind of what we do and try to break down and figure out, you know, hey, why is all this going on? And I was just really interested in the construction of this thing, because essentially what you have, if you really think about it, is you have this huge antenna attached to the ground. You got this 12,400-pound piece of glass and brass. You know, you've got this staircase that's metal that goes all the way down, you know, and then I was interested to see what the rest of it was made of. Now, for those who are a little bit height challenged, how safe is it when you're up at the top?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Sure.
For those,
that's okay. For those who are a little bit more height challenged, like myself.
Oh, okay.
In other words, afraid of heights, not height challenged.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
How safe is it when you get up to the top?
I ask that because I'm 5'6", so I'm slightly vertically challenged.
Well, there you go.
What you were saying. You know, we get that a lot. People come and, you know, they don't want to climb, but I explain to them, look, yes, there's 228 stairs, but there are six landings. So there's approximately 30 steps per landing. With each landing, there's a window to look out through. If you start to feel a little squirrely because you're afraid of heights, I highly suggest you stop and come down. If you want to try to push yourself to get over your fear of heights, then more power to you. Once you get to the top of the lighthouse, you are in what's known as the watch room. And that's basically the little room that the keeper would stay up all night long and keep an eye on that, you know, that light to make sure that the kerosene lamps would never burn their flame out. You don't have to go outside. The outside perimeter where the ledge is, that's called the watch. Now, some people really try to grab onto their fears and conquer them by going out. Others are saying, you know what? I'm perfectly fine where I am. I did what I wanted to do, and I feel good. There's no pressure. You do what you want to do.
So honestly, you're safe, sure. Mike. You can stop at the first landing. I'll go ahead and go to the top.
Oh, so, I'm fluffy. I'll bounce.
That only make it up to the first landing and say, you know what? This is more. This is more than I could chew off. So they come on back down.
Yeah. Hey, so Mike is one who really can't even stand to be like on a balcony on the second floor, and I'm the one that jumps out of airplanes. So we're an interesting match here.
I'll get over there. I'll head up and I'll check it. It's worth it for the view. For the view alone, it's worth it.
You'll figure it out.
It is. Yeah. It really is. And you know, and one of the things that we also have, which we're very proud of, we have 8 cameras that are mounted atop of the lighthouse, and they broadcast in real time. You can actually see their view if you go to our lighthouse website, which is afsikinlighthouse.org. Or when you come into our museum, we have a 50-inch monitor that broadcasts the real-time video from those cameras. Every 90 seconds, it switches to a different view. So for somebody who may be extremely afraid of heights, maybe someone who is a senior citizen and knows they just can't climb that, or maybe there's someone with a physical disability where they know they can't climb, they at least can watch the monitor and get an idea of what the view is from atop the lighthouse. So right. It really works out very nicely for some folk.
That's great. And Milt, thanks a lot for coming on today. Did you want to give out some of your contact info and go through the whole?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Again, our website is afsikinlighthouse.org. We thing there. If if you are someone of a paranormal group who is interested in maybe, you know, setting up a reservation, if we have an availability, please go to our website, contact me. If you're a scout leader of a Cub Scout or Girl Scout troop, the information about our Keeper Sleeper overnight program is there. We do weddings at the lighthouse.
Oh, nice.
We have 3 different tiers. If you want to have an original wedding that everyone that's invited will talk to forever,
right?
A lighthouse is a great place to do it. Awesome. I'm actually recognized as an officiant through Atlantic City. We'd love to talk to you. A great thing that we're doing this Wednesday is National Lighthouse Day. It's Wednesday, August 7th, and we invite everybody to come in. All kids from 12 years old and under get to climb for free. We're actually going to have our representative, Mr. Frank Lazaro, who is the director of the NJ Rope investigative team. He's going to be there from 5 o'clock to about 6:30, and he's going to talk to people about the lighthouse. He'll answer any of your paranormal questions that you may have. And we're also doing a wine and cheese jazz fest as well.
Oh, nice.
There is a cost for that, and you can sign up through our website or give us a call at the lighthouse. But then from about 5:30 to 7 o'clock, wine tasting, hors d'oeuvres, and good old-fashioned music. It's going to be a great day.
It sounds like fun.
For anybody that's close by and is in driving distance, you guys are at 31 South Rhode Island Avenue. in Atlantic
City. That's correct. We're less than a quarter mile from the Hard Rock. We're only a few blocks away from the Ocean Casino. You know, I, as I said, I am third generation to grow up on the island, and I interact a lot with the people that come and visit. And if I had a dollar for every time I heard someone say, you know, when I was a kid, I used to come to Atlantic City with my parents, my grandparents. When the casinos came into play, my wife and I, we came down all the time. In the 30, 40, 50 years I've been coming to Atlantic City, I never knew there was a lighthouse here. Like, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, I'd have a great nest egg for retirement, believe you me.
I'll bet you would.
Yeah, you also mentioned Ocean. Right now, Ocean has free parking. So, I mean, you know.
That's correct.
Get over in
it's
Ocean.
$5, it's $5 to park, but if you go to their player card center and you actually sign up for a player's card.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, it's free parking for, that's it. You know, and you don't, look, my wife and I are not gamblers. We do not do that. We like to go and make, in fact, perfect example. Tonight, we have tickets to go see the Stray Cats that are performing over there at the Ocean. We'll go to the restaurants. We'll see the shows. We'll go out to, the cocktail lounges. But we don't gamble. However, because we have the card, we're able to benefit from the parking situation. So, yes, $5. But if you sign up for their free players card, free parking. It's a great thing. It really is.
Yeah, and it's actually an exciting time in Atlantic City. You got the Orange Loop now, a bunch of stuff going in down there. You got you guys over there. So, you know, get over, climb the lighthouse, get to town, come see the different restaurants that have opened up in the Orange Loop, and get a little paranormal experience. Who knows?
Right?
You never know. You never really know. You know, the one thing about the paranormal is it's 24 hours a day, baby.
That's a good point.
Exactly. Hey, Milt, thanks a lot.
Oh, guys, thank you for reaching out. Thank you for having me on your program. It really was a pleasure.
Yeah, and
I thank you.
We'll be in touch with you on that investigation once we get that all shaken out. Now, your new calendar, you get that what, in September?
September.
Okay.
First week of September, like clockwork.
All righty.
I'm running out the staples, and I'm getting my calendar.
We'll be in touch in September, sir.
Thank you very much.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
And the same. Take care.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
So what did you think?
I thought that was great. He was very accommodating. One of the things that I found most interesting is this concept that the entities wandering around the lighthouse are transient.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's interesting. And what is it about lighthouses? Is it the construction? Is it the way they're laid out? Is it maybe it's like a gigantic antenna? Maybe it just overall gives spirits the feeling of safety?
I think all those things are true because the lighthouses are built for a specific reason is to keep people safe. They're built to welcome transients as they come in and out of harbors and in and out of cities. And, you know, the purpose of them is kind of a marker and to say, hey, I've got your back, you're good, you're safe. So for transient paranormal activity seems to align with the purpose of the lighthouse. I'm a safe harbor for a very short period of your life.
That's a good point. Very good point. Yeah, it just, you know, there's lighthouses everywhere. Some of them have tragic events. Lighthouses everywhere that are haunted, I should say. Some of them have tragic events that you can point back to. Obviously, a lot of them have, you know, ships
crashing around
them. But on this one, you've got a lighthouse that was built. Nothing, you know, bad happened. I mean, what I'm thinking is, maybe those people, those souls from the Powhatan, they got there, they're roaming around on Absecon Island, which, you know, just so you guys know, is Atlantic City. And then maybe they're, you know, one of the first structures that goes up is the lighthouse, and they're sitting there going, oh, well, there's a good place to stay.
Again, safe harbor,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it was the first building constructed on Absecon Island.
I don't know. I don't know whether it was that one or there was a hotel. But either way, it was one of the first couple.
Right.
So yeah, it's just an interesting, you know, usually you can have this history to point to.
Yeah, I was anticipating him telling us that they have, you know, Sailor Joe that comes every night and says hello, but that's not what happened. And what happens is a transient experience, which makes it even more interesting that it continues to happen to multiple people, but everybody sees something different.
Right.
Or hears something different.
Yeah, it's an interesting haunting. Not your normal run-of-the-mill haunting. And especially, you know, saying, you know, people dropping F-bombs and, you know, that's not...
Yeah, that's a current.
That's not somebody from the Powhatan.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure they had some method of cursing back then. I just wouldn't know what it is. Well,
the Cockney accent was interesting, right? Because a lot of you know, British sailors, so maybe somebody that worked on the ship, you know, that
But I thought this ship was...
It was full of German immigrants, and it had left France, but it was built in Baltimore.
Okay.
Way back.
That's right. It was built in
Baltimore.
Yeah,
it was an older ship. I think it was 20, 21 years old. So it had been with a bunch of different people. I don't know who the captain of it was, but, you know, that's where I'm going with this. I think it's primarily those people that were, you know, washed up on shore from the Powhatan. And the great thing is when we get done this podcast, we're going to go over to Smithville and, you know, kind of see where we had always driven by Smithville and saw those old tombstones and never knew where they, you know, how they originated. I mean, we just figured it was people that lived in the area. But now that's really interesting. You know, and when you go over to Smithville, you can kill two birds with one stone.
It's always a pleasant day out at Smithville.
Well, actually, three birds on one stone. You can go to Smithville, and you can go to that cemetery, and then if you drive down the end of the road, you can see the Jersey Devil House.
That's right. It's right at Leeds Point.
I mean, they're all within like 3/4 of a mile from each other. So
there's a lot of history and a lot of history about very unusual things that happen on the Jersey coast.
Nice little ride to take today.
I believe you're correct. I think the dogs would appreciate it. Yeah. Speaking of dogs.
Yeah, you can hear them barking the whole entire time.
Yeah, so we apologize for that, but he was a little annoyed. He was downstairs, we were upstairs, but I think we'll maybe take him for a long ride today to ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, interesting episode.
It was.
So we also, the other night, did a little interesting investigation. We went to the Carranza Memorial, which is another location here in South Jersey that's purported to be haunted. But we're going to put the results of that investigation up on our Patreon page. So, if you go over to Patreon and you search on Wicked Garden Podcast and you sign up and get an account for $3 a month, you can get in. There's already one show there. That's about 50 minutes long. And this will be the second installment. So we'll have two patron shows up, and this is going to have a little bit of video because some crazy video stuff happened while we were there.
That's true.
It was a creepy, creepy place, and we can't wait to go back and do a night investigation. But getting back to the lighthouse, I'm going to try to get together with Milt, you know.
Get on his calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if anybody out there who's listening is interested in getting involved in that and maybe coming in and doing an investigation with us, you know, contact us, reach out to us on the Facebook page. Our email again is email@wickedgardenpodcast.com. You know, I think we can have up to 12 people, as long as you're behaved.
And, well behaved,
yeah,
specifically.
Yeah, there's a cost involved. I'll try to figure out what it is. And so maybe we'll put something out there and, you know, we'll bring in some listeners on that along with our investigation team.
Yep.
It's about time that investigation team got something done and taking the whole summer off. So.
Get them moving. Absolutely. The fall is a good time to get moving, though. It's a little cooler to do those kinds of investigations at night.
And we want to do announce a contest. We've got our new hats, our trucker caps that are in, and they look great. They've got the Wicked Garden Podcast logo on them. So we've got a little contest for you. And, you know, this being New Jersey and being a paranormal podcast, we will eventually tackle the Jersey Devil.
It's true. We promise.
And that will probably be a deep dive episode. As you can see on the Facebook page, you know, we've already captured the Jersey Devil.
We have.
So we got
and terrified my friend Anita.
Right. So, you know, we will also go into that in probably painful depth. Because it is an interesting and long story. It
may even be two episodes. Depends on how the day goes.
Well, okay. So the original episode, you guys are following along. You see our episode numbers. You know, if you can guess, send in to us your guesses. First guess wins. You know, if you can guess what episode we'll be doing the Jersey Devil, you know, it should be pretty obvious if you know.
And what he means by that is what episode number
are we going to tackle the Jersey Devil? So, if you guys want to send in your answers to that, we will send you out. And there's going to be one winner. We will send you out. The first person who comes in with the right answer, we will go ahead and send you out a trucker cap for your trouble.
So send in the answer through Facebook message or Messenger, and we will get back to you when we have a winner and get your contact
and
information.
And we'll announce that winner on our show.
As well as on the Facebook page.
So once again, if you guys, you have a ghost sighting, you have a UFO sighting, you have a cryptid sighting, anything extraordinary, anything paranormal, you know, get in touch with us as always. Reach out to us at email@wickedgardenpodcast.com. You can also reach out to us on the Facebook page, which is Wicked Garden Podcast. Once again, go to our Patreon. You know, we know that we're going to be presenting a lot of material for free, but there are costs to offset. So anything you can do, first tier is $3 a month, and it gives you all that extra content, that show that's out there, and then also you'll get to see our Quran's and Memorial Investigation. So if you can do that, that'd be great. And then coming up, we are going to be getting into a little bit of Bigfoot. Yay. My favorite subject.
For the entire month of September is our plan to do some informational episodes on Bigfoot.
We've got some eyewitnesses coming up. We've got some really good guests coming up, some good experts on Bigfoot. So stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your podcatcher. We're out there now on Google. That happened this week, so we got that out there too as well. Our merchandise is up, should be up by the end of the weekend on our page, wickedgardenpodcast.com. Once again, we had the trucker hat and we have another black hat. They both look great. So as always, guys, it's been fun. Abseeking Lighthouse, you know, get out. Do some visiting, see some cool haunted places, and we'll see you guys next time. This is Mike.
This is Tracy.